So if you want to turn with me in your pew Bibles, or of course it's on the screen there as well. And it's from chapter 6, in which Paul's writing to the church in Corinth a second time. He's probably written about three letters overall, but this is his second letter. And he still is concerned for how the church is growing, and he's trying to draw them into a better and more substantive place in their faith, in which Christ can continue to build his Christian community. So in this passage here, he's talking about being diligent in ministry. And Paul shares then how to do that for his own witnesses and his own experiences. And he writes, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten but not yet killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, have nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also." And I'm going to go straight into our gospel reading then, which is in Mark's gospel, chapter 4. And it's about the story and the true event of Jesus calming the storm. Jesus has just been around the shores of Galilee, speaking to various people and teaching them through many parables. So here's Jesus then, just now getting tired end of the day and just wanting to get away now. And so he set sail. So that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came upon them, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care? We drown." He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." I don't know how much you know about church history, or about, indeed, the history of the Anglican Church. We've been sailing the seas for quite some time now. The Anglican Church goes right back to, of course, the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church goes right back to the early formations in the first three or four centuries. And of course, it goes right back here to the time of Corinthians and all the other churches just starting to come together as a Christian community for the first time. So throughout that history, there's been some storms along those that plain sailing. And today's no different as well. But we're not on calm seas. We are entering or already in the storms of life in this generation. I have with me here a report from our bishop, Julian, the bishop of our diocese, who's written an in-depth report, as have all the bishops across the nation in their diocese, informing us of the current times and the predicaments that we are in. Indeed, he shares this piece from a national picture for one bishop in another context, in which he writes, "It's important that we see what's going on in our church in the broader context. One diocesan bishop has been heard to say that the Church of England will slide off the radar in his diocese in about 10 years. So in 10 years' time, his diocese will come to an end as an Anglican church. In this diocese, our bishop has given us to 2026, in which will be the 100th year in celebrating this diocese in its formation at the beginning until now. So with this in mind, the bishop's laid on our hearts at this parish level that things need to change. Transformation needs to happen if we're going to be here by that time. And in his vision, he has this this heading, this title, and it's Growing Healthy Churches and Transforming Communities. And within that, then, he says, you need to be making disciples, being witnesses to Jesus Christ, and growing leaders for Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to be a healthy church? Well, this is the reason we called yesterday to be a church away day, to come and explore the bishop's vision, to wrestle with his thoughts and what it means for us, to bring out our own godly mission action plan and see if they both marry up, if we're moving in the right direction. But I know most of you perhaps have never heard or even seen the bishop's vision, or even, you know, recognize that we're in troubled times. And you all probably have not seen much of our mission action plan pulled together over the past few months. But we're going to make sure you get hold of them so you get an understanding of where we're coming from. The thing is, for our church to not be here in the next couple of decades, all we have to do is do nothing. And if that's what you want, then we'll do nothing. You might be healthy on the outside, but spiritually, there is something not working, something not happening. And we're not growing as a church. And perhaps that's because we're not growing as Christians. We're not quality Christians. If you recall in Acts, when it brings together the very first writings of church coming together, and that they met regularly, they shared everything in common. Like-mindedly, they worshipped the Lord, they prayed, they had faith. And the Lord, because of their faithfulness, added to their numbers. We can't add people to our numbers unless we are living in that faithfulness. Unless we are passionate, God-loving Christians. And that's nationally, it's at a diocesan level, it's at a parish level. So every church needs to start having these conversations. It's not about the bishop doing his job, the vicar doing their job, and the people doing their job. It's about doing it all together. So if you use this reading from Mark's Gospel about this storm as an illustration of perhaps where we are today in the storms of our church here at St. John's, there are four points to draw on. The first, perhaps, is the willingness of Jesus to get into the boat. In the verse 36, it says that he left the crowd and that they, the disciples, took him along just as he was, tired perhaps, overwhelmed, and they took him along and brought him into the boat. If we are on the ship, on this boat, where at one time through our history, all hands were on deck, working away, from scrubbing the decks, setting the sails, down into the decks, mending the bows of the ship, wherever it might be, painting it, wherever it might be, all hands are on deck doing their bit, having a part to play, a role to play, in which that ship couldn't function or move or operate as best it could if people weren't doing their bit. And there were no passengers. Everybody had a role. Everybody participated. Everybody worked their socks off with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the boat was away and it set sail. And here we can imagine that then that's what the disciples did. And Jesus was on board with them. And Jesus has a knack and a way about him that he likes to get involved too. He wants to be on board in every situation. He's always there in every event at the heart of what's going on. Wherever they walked, wherever they sailed, there was Jesus. And then when this ferocious squall came in and the waves broke over the sides of the ship, the first thing that the disciples did was to see that Jesus was asleep, and they panicked and they feared. And they cried out, "Don't you care that we are going to drown?" Now, I think there are two things here. I think firstly, the disciples believed that Jesus could do something in that situation. Not fully grasping who he is yet, but knowing he could do something to save them. And secondly, I don't think Jesus was truly fast asleep and unaware of what was going on. I don't think he was having a picnic either, but I think he was just there, aware of what the situation was, knew the storm was coming in, and in a sense, it was testing their faith to see how they would get on without him, knowing one day he would have to go and depart. And so Jesus gets up and the first thing he does is not rebuke his disciples, but rebuke the dark storms around them. And he simply says, "Quiet, be still." And that's enough. And then he entered into a time of peace. If we are in a time of storms now, we've got to have the understanding that Jesus is with us. He always has been from the beginning of history of the church. And always will be to the end. Why? Because he died for the church. He gave his life for the church. And he's not going to let it go. He's constantly here working in a way in the heart of our church. But the reason why we're suffering so much is because we've lost that faith in Jesus. Perhaps metaphorically, we think he's not a part of us anymore. He's asleep somewhere. But he's not in the boot of the car. He's not up in the attic. He's not shoved away somewhere. He's longing to be close and be part and intimate with us. And it's us that stop him from coming and freeing us in the Spirit of God, freeing us in the joy of learning about him. And he says in verse 40, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Well, brothers and sisters, what is it that we fear? What are we afraid of? Where's our faith to recognize that we are in trouble? And that if we don't do something, then our church will just fade away. They board up the windows. They put a sign on the door that says, "Sorry, we're closed." And the grounds will be overgrown. And David's hard work and mowing that grass for years and years and years, week in, week out, would all been in vain. But more so, the death of Christ, you know, that sacrifice of giving himself over would have been in vain. And it's not him who's let this place down. It will be us. But we haven't yet, because we're here, aren't we? We are alive and we're still here today. I'm going to rejoice in that, but we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up a giant within us and see what difference that we can make in our life in this church community. Because only then can we start to grow a healthy church. And only then can we get out and start transforming our community. And so yesterday in our away day, we wrestled with all these things. that we think we ought to start doing. And even the bishops, all three of them have said in one way or the other, go and take risks. Start exploring what church can be for you today. Start to make your life real with him and start to build up a relationship all over again. And start living it out in here and in your community. I don't know how you feel about all that. If you feel in your heart that, you know, I never thought about that before. Or yeah, I kind of recognize that we are struggling. Well, look around you. There are more empty seats than there are people. I know many people are away today. And the thing is, we have over 90 people now in our electoral roll. And if they came passionately together as a Christian community, just once a week together, this place would start to feel a little bit more full, wouldn't it? But for whatever reason, whatever's going on around us, we are distracted. Other things have become a priority. We come to church when we feel that we can, or would like to, or we give our time to, and it suits us. Sounds hard, but that's got to be the reality. And why this church isn't full of those 90-odd people every week. We're not doing something that's right. Have we become too comfortable? Is it nice feeling to come to church? A nice welcoming environment? But that's good, and it's a good place to begin. When Jesus was tired, they took and looked after Jesus and brought him into the boat just as he was. What a great place to start. That when people come through that doors, we've already got that willingness to wrap our arms around them, knowing that people come from all extraordinary, difficult experiences and say, I'm tired and I'm exhausted from life. Well, come. We'll help you come aboard and be part of our worship today. That's just the beginning. But we are in that vicious storm all around us now in which society says there is no God, there is no need for church. And if we hide away from that, they're never going to wear any different. And perhaps, you know, there's an inkling in our heart somewhere that we might actually side with that fact, but we're still coming for whatever reason. But when was the last time you actually grew in your faith? When was the last time you actually sat and read your Bible and thought, that is extraordinary. That means something to me. That caused me to be closer to my loving God. That makes a difference in my life. And I want to make sure that those people sat around me feel the same, in which we encourage each other. That's what church community is, because we can't do it on our own. But many churches, most churches, church has become now that we gather together on a Sunday for an hour, and that's us being church. And I think to myself, what did Jesus die for? What does he think about our church today? And I'm a little bit ashamed because I'm part of it. You know, this is me. This is you. I love God, I do. And that's why I love you guys too, that I want us to work together to make a difference. Because if this church closes, the Anglican Church fails, you know, I'm a part of it. And I feel a failure that you're not growing. And that's my responsibility to come and make a difference. So I'm letting you down. I'm letting God down too as well. But if you allow me, if you help me make a difference, then I want to start today bringing in the phase in which we can change this whole coming to church to be something different, to be a learning environment in which you dare to take risks and do something different. And if you let me do something over this next year, and you can come to the end of it and say, Tom, didn't really like that, then that's fine. Let's try something different. But what can't happen from this day forward is that we just keep doing this. It's not enough. I don't think it honors Jesus. As much as you love him in your own way, there's got to be something more, hasn't there? And so when the new people come and join us, when the Lord asks to our number, they can come in through those doors and see, wow, this is what you're about. You're a people that love God, and you want to know more about him and learn more about him. Rather than just coming in and think, oh, I just sit here and participate in my own way and go home. that's not really getting on board. And perhaps for all of us, including me, have become passengers on the boat, rather than people who are scrubbing away for the Lord on our hands and knees to make a difference. So we looked at how our space might be different, how we come together on the Sunday and beyond and make a difference, how we all might enter into some form of discipleship, because that's the only way we're going to grow, not by a 10-minute rambling on from the vicar at the front or his ministry team, but we've got to start participating in that. So as you try to do sort of fresh expressions in the heart of our church, we can't do anything out in the community until we learn ourselves what it is to know Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you to forget everything you thought you knew about him. And let's go back to school and learn all over again what 1 + 1 + 1 equals. Just learn all over again what it is to be a Christian community. To learn all over again what it is to be in relationship with God. And to learn what it is to be in fellowship with each other. And let's just see what God can do from that if we trust in him and have faith in him. And not to be afraid of these changing times, of these transformational times. But look positively and excitedly about what we can be. And so that the next time you come to church, or maybe in a year's time when you come to church, you feel excited. And you're begging me on your hands and knees to do another service in the week because you just can't get enough. Your hunger and thirst is just too much. That you're not getting fed and you're not getting that living water enough in your heart and soul. And only then can we start to see our church grow. So let's give ourselves 2 years to get into a good place of discipleship. I encourage you to look now towards the home groups to build your faith up. I know life is busy. I know you have work that works at all kind of different hours. You have young children climbing all over you. And I know some days are sometimes hard now to prioritize in your life. I get all that. Jesus gets all that. So let's do another week, another service that you can get to. You tell me what you want so I can serve you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Ian's just reminded me now that I've spoken way too much now. That's the bell. Cut off now, Tom. That's enough. Your PCC wants to move forward as well, you know. And they want to represent your views and your thoughts. Yeah, use them. Speak to them. Speak to me. This is your family in Christ. This is your church here in Baxingdon. And so it's up to us, isn't it, to make a difference from this day forward. But there are two alternatives, as I said before. We can do nothing or we can do something. It's up to us. So, what should we do next? That's for you now to go away, to think about, to pray about, to discern about. And to come back next week or the week after and come and speak to me. But don't think you haven't got an important role to play, because you have. And you're here for a reason. And whatever reason that is, Jesus knows in your heart. So we get in that boat together. Amen. I've got this video clip I'm going to show you now, because you've got no baptism. Usually our baptism service every third Sunday, isn't it? So we've got a bit of a free play around here. And in this clip, it's from a film called Master and Commander, if you've seen it. The story isn't that important at this clip. But the clip's about a time when they're chasing another ship. And if you can imagine the ship that they're chasing, if you can use it as an illustration of our vision, okay? And we're chasing that vision. And listen to all the words on the ship about how they feel about chasing that. And within the heart of this storm, you'll see all kinds of people reacting in all sorts of different ways. And that perhaps might be an illustration as we all think about what it means for us to start thinking about change and transformation. Some of us will feel really excited. Some of us will be very skeptical and uncertain what all that means. And there's a time when somebody climbs up the mast and the storm is so strong, it knocks that mast into the water and it falls over. And that person's left on the mast, drifting out. But the ropes are still connected to the ship. And they've got a decision to make. It's that mast and the ropes start to drag that ship down into the sea with their loved one on it. What means something to them on that mast. They've got to decide to either cut the ropes and let them drift away or go down with that mast. And that person can be that stumbling block, as Paul writes in Corinthians, of what gets in the way of us moving forward. Things that you find difficult to let go. Use it as an illustration of what's going to stop you from moving forward. That's cutting it away from your life so that we can move forward together. So have that peace. Thanks very much, Henry.
Yes, thank you for that, Davies. Do you reckon the captain will keep following him round the horn? Every stitch of canvas, Brian.
Hey, I reckon he'd follow him to the gates of hell if he had to.
It's a devil's ship, I tell you. It's leading us right into a trap.
She's making a run for the horn, sir.
I'm not vouch for this, master. Not around the horn.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb. You'll come as we know it in the lock. Sail to us to the station. Get the sails over, lads. She's out of breath.
Closing on her, Tom. I'll not give up now. Come up on the wind, Barrett. Set a course southwest by west.
Southwest by west, sir.
Mr. Callaby! Idlers and wasters below!
Thank you.
sort of cheer at the end, towards the end of that scene there. It was quite hard to see, wasn't great clarity in that projector, sorry about that, but you had to make out what was going on. But sometimes the storms are like that, you can't quite see where you're going, what things are about. But when that mast fell over and was dragging the boat over too, everybody felt they were going to go down with it. But once the mast was cut away and the ship righted itself, they knew then that we're going to be okay. And perhaps that's where we are, we're just leaning right over, and lots of things are just weighing us down. And the more we cut away those things and allow ourselves then to enter into a new time, into a new era, hopefully we'll find that joy in our hearts too. But it's painful, and it will be painful, journey ahead, because often church provides and offers us stability, a routine which we're used to coming to. But unless we venture on and pursue a new journey with Christ, we know that we're going to struggle then to make a difference. So my prayer is going to be for you now, and then we're going to enter a time of just allowing us, God, to work and minister into our hearts what he might be saying to you personally, and perhaps what your new role might be, or to encourage you to continue in your role in the life of his church here. I'll use this prayer from the bishop's prayer for vision. The God of mission, who alone brings growth to your church, send your Holy Spirit to bring vision to our planning, wisdom to our actions, faith to our lives, and hope to our communities, and love in our hearts, this day and for the days to come. Amen.